Hello everyone and welcome back. Today is Friday, September 3rd, 2010. My name is Angela Walton-Raji and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. How's everybody doing today? Wow, can you believe this? September 3rd, summer has gone. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And of course, actually, I guess technically summer's still with us calendar-wise, but we're also sort of right in the middle of hurricane season as a hurricane is moving up the Atlantic seaboard this weekend, but thankfully not much damage is expected from it. And of course, this is the anniversary weekend of what many of us were just sort of riveted to our televisions 5 years ago, watching the devastation from Hurricane Katrina. And of course, our thoughts and prayers are still with the city of New Orleans that is making a gradual recovery, but there are many people whose lives were lost, whose families certainly suffered tremendous amounts and are still trying to put their lives together. So let's take some time to be really grateful, those of us who were not affected, but we've got to be grateful for what we have, but also remember those who are still trying to make a recovery from the devastation of that. And this time of the year often reminds all of us that there's so many things that are not promised to us tomorrow, and how things can so quickly change. So let's be mindful of that, certainly this weekend. This is also a holiday weekend. This is Labor Day weekend, and for many, it's sort of the last sort of festive or extended weekend that one will take for the summer season. And many people are involved with a number of things, from family reunions to homecomings to just get-togethers. And hopefully this is a good time for all of you as you're planning your weekend as well. Well, of course, one of the things with September, of course, summer fades, and it's fading into fall. It's a new season, though. Schools are open. Many schools, there are still some that will be opening this coming week, I understand. But with a new school season, at least, even though climate-wise, the seasons are changing and leaves will be falling in a few weeks. But with schools opening, it's a season of new programs. And of course, as and on many levels, we're winding down for the year, but not really. We're sort of stepping up in other categories, especially in the genealogical community. But one of the things I do like, at least, with fall, as the warm days will start to come to an end and there'll be sort of that fresh, crisp air that autumn brings. But I do like the fact that it does give one a chance to sort of slow down and reflect. And reflect about where one is with one's projects, with one's goals. Have you reached some of the goals that you had set for yourself earlier in the year? I'm also getting ready and sort of looking at my calendar. Even though the summer's come to an end, I still have quite a few events coming up just about every month. There's going to be a family history conference that's coming up in Maryland, actually, at the LDS Center of Baltimore. The Latter-day Saints Family History Center of Baltimore is holding a genealogy day, and that's coming up next week at the center in Essex, Maryland. And I'll put some information and links to that event for you, because that can be a really neat thing. It's an all-day event and just a lot of good workshops that I often find that I enjoy at some of the LDS-sponsored events. So, you know, certainly put that on your calendars if you're in the greater Washington, Baltimore area. I'm getting ready myself for a couple of things coming up on the 18th of September. That's actually a couple of weeks from now. I'm going to be speaking in New York City at the Gustav Hayes Center. And that is the New York extension, so to speak, of the Smithsonian, National Museum of the American Indian. And I will be giving a presentation on researching blended families. I spoke there back in May and had a wonderful experience there. And I'm going to be back there again. This will also bring to an end a series of lectures that I have been delivering at the Smithsonian since last September. And it has been in conjunction with the symposium and the exhibition that will start to travel around the country for the next 3 years. And the exhibition is Indivisible: African Native American Families in the Americas. And that exhibition is going to be traveling throughout the country as it leaves the museum site in Washington. And this will be the last in a series of lectures in conjunction with the museum being housed at the Smithsonian before it goes and travels around the country. I'm also, in about 2.5 or 3 weeks, I'm going to be in Oklahoma, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be not speaking this time, though, but I am going to be meeting with a number of colleagues, and we're going to be attending an event at the Five Civilized Tribes Museum, the Five Tribes Storytellers Conference. And there are going to be a number of researchers and speakers there, some of whom I have known and have been following for some time. And I'm also going to be meeting with people of a new organization that is unfolding and is about to be announced. I can give you an overview, a brief preview. That is a new historical association that has organized. It's called ITOFA, and I-T-O-F as in Frank, H-A, which I think they're about to launch a website within the next 2 weeks as well. And ITOFA stands for the Indian Territory and Oklahoma Freedmen Historical Association. And that's exciting to be a part of that, and I'm going to have a chance to meet with some of the founding members and the board of that new historical association. This organization is also an institutional member of the Oklahoma Historical Society, and so it's going to be pretty exciting to see some of the things that are going to be coming forth from this organization. Many of you, of course, are aware that in about a month in Washington, D.C., the National Conference of the African American Historical and Genealogical Society is going to be having their annual conference, which is going to take place October 7th through 9th at the University of Maryland Conference Center in Adelphi, Maryland. And I will hopefully be at that event as well. I'm planning on representing the Afrogenius.com site, but I'm also hoping to give a presentation there as well. So again, this is a pretty big, busy season. One thing coming up also in November, I'm looking forward to that as well. That's going to be taking place outside of Atlanta in Duluth, Georgia, the Family History Expo. That's going to be an awful lot of fun. Speakers from all over with a number of areas of strength and areas of specialty. I think that will be of interest to genealogists of all backgrounds. And that's going to be the weekend of November 12th and 13th. So it's kind of an exciting time to be in that area as well. I am working on right now, I'm just beginning to develop a couple of presentations that I'll be working on for 2011 as well. As you know, 2011 marks the sesquicentennial of the beginning of the Civil War, and there's going to be a conference at the University of Arkansas, Fort Smith. Now, I know some of you who may know what happened to me when I was there last year. I went to a conference. It was a Black History conference, and I gave 4 presentations there. And everything went well, although it almost didn't happen at all, because as I had flown into the state for the presentation, suddenly the day before, a snowstorm hit that part of the country. This is an area that generally has mild winters, although occasionally they do get really, really cold, and they've been known to have ice for a couple of days, but generally it's not an area that's known for snowfall. Well, they had an 8-inch snowfall, and for a community that has no snowplows, trust me, that is a serious event to have happen. And so the event that was scheduled for the last Friday and Saturday in January did not happen, but since I also could not fly out, it was agreed upon that we would have it the following week, and I was able to change my travel plans. And so I did stay, and the event did take place the first weekend in February. Everything was fine. The weather was good. Everything melted by that time, and the conference was quite successful. Well, of course, I was quite, I won't say traumatized, because I live in Maryland. We get more snow. So an 8-inch snowstorm should not have been traumatic. But the weekend that I was speaking, suddenly there was a 3-foot snowstorm here in Maryland. So I ended up getting snowed in Arkansas one week and then snowed out of Maryland and couldn't get back. So I ended up spending actually 2 weeks in Arkansas, which was not a bad thing because I was staying with good friends and close to home. My hometown is just right there in western Arkansas. And so it was a good time to be home, and I had a chance to feel home again. So that was something that worked out okay, thankfully. But of course, I was vowing that I wasn't going to go back there in the wintertime. So what is going on? I've been invited to come back and speak at one of the Civil War events, and particularly this conference, taking place again in January, is devoted to Civil War. Well, I do research Civil War, particularly African American soldiers that served on the Western frontier and those who served west of the Mississippi, including the 6 regiments from Arkansas, the also the regiments that were organized in Kansas, but they came out of Indian Territory and were later redesignated as part of the U.S. Colored Troops as well. So guess where I'm going again in January? Back to Arkansas. Let's hope I don't get snowed in this time. I am looking forward also to the spring in 2011. I have been invited to speak in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I have been there before. This is an event coming up in middle of May, and I'll certainly talk about that more as time gets closer, but this is going to be at the Idlejork Museum, which is a beautiful facility in Indianapolis, and it's probably the largest museum devoted to Native American history and culture, certainly east of the Mississippi, and I will be speaking there in May. So this is a time where it's a lot of fun for me as I'm slowing down on one level. Of course, I just got back from Nevada a week or so ago, and I'm still quite thrilled that went so very well. But it's a time also that I'm looking forward to some new things and looking towards just always reviewing the projects that I'm involved in. So there are quite a few things that are keeping me busy, and I hope that we'll also get you busy, and just considering the time of the year and the chance to reflect on things. I have a question for you. I'm curious, in terms that I would love to hear from you, how many of you get your own information? I know that we're all creatures of habit, and I've had this conversation a lot in the last several weeks with some of my genealogy friends in terms of where they go to get information in terms of what's going on, whether they are upcoming genealogy events or finding out something new. Maybe there's a new technology, maybe there's some new software, maybe there's a new website. I'm just curious in terms of where you go to get information. yourself. And there are many resources we know that are out there for you. If you're online a lot, of course, you know, you have your favorite places that you go. You may use the genealogy communities that are beginning to arise in the social networking environments, from Facebook to Twitter to Genealogy Wise, which arose just about a year or so ago, and it sort of exploded on the scene. But some of us have our own message boards that we like to visit, and we are creatures of habit. We may go check to see what's new, sign on quickly, then sign off. Or others perhaps pop in your favorite weekly online chat and see what's going on there. Say hello to some of the friends that you may have established there and then move on. And then, of course, some of us also, admittedly, look forward to getting our monthly magazines, whether it's Family Tree Magazine, Family Chronicle, Internet Genealogy, whatever it is that you may subscribe to. And, of course, you are probably receiving journals or newsletters or both from your favorite historical society or genealogical society. And there are others who do none of those, and they just are always the ones who look forward to going to their monthly genealogy society meeting. And again, there are many ways to get information. And but sometimes I think it's always a good idea to sort of just shake off the cobwebs, and at least the cobwebs of habit, and just become refreshed in a different way. And I just encourage, and this year, I guess I'm saying this because I've had a chance to do it myself. I participated in a seminar, a week-long seminar that I've been saying for years that I would go and participate in, and went to it this year and just found myself so energized and so stimulated. And it's something that I would say, you know, if you've been putting off going to one of the genealogy institutes, maybe think about it. Maybe start to budget for it now, for next year. Some of the programs that are available next summer, there's still time. Registration won't even open up for some of those until January. So there's a lot of time, but this is the time to maybe plan for that seminar or that institute that you haven't done. One of the things that I'm hoping to do this year, or certainly for the next 10 or 12 months, is to become even more skilled in using technology. I'm interested in really becoming familiar with the many ways that, for example, Google Earth can be applied to to some of the projects that I'm involved in, particularly with cemeteries and cemetery documentation. So I'm hoping to take a technology workshop this year. For those of you who don't have a blog, maybe this is the time to at least consider developing one, or if not developing one for yourself, maybe to consider writing in a different way. Write perhaps an article for your own society. Does your society publish a newsletter or a journal? Perhaps this is a good time to submit an article. Certainly by the time you've started doing a lot of the research for 3, 4, 5 years, you've become adept at something. And it might be just the records pertaining to your local area. Well, guess what? You're not the only one researching that area. And there are others who may benefit from some of the skills that you've picked up. I've also come to appreciate meeting some people whom I had never met before. And I guess particularly I mentioned blogs because blogging and reading blogs, reading has really opened up doors for me. I have come to admire the work of individuals whom I had never met before. Some I've yet to meet them face to face, but I'm I'm familiar with the caliber of work that they're doing, and I'm excited by some of the things that I'm seeing. And so I'm hoping to get you to think about doing the same thing, and to also sort of, even if you never communicate with an individual whose work you may admire, I'm encouraging you to sort of adopt a person to follow and see what you can learn from those individuals. There's a lot of just refreshing energy that's out there, and the number of blogs are quite exciting. And some, I'm just making more and more discoveries. And I have certainly the blogs that I follow. I enjoy them an awful lot. I am appreciating that also some of the sites that are fairly established, quote unquote, are welcoming participation and input from others. And a very good example of what I'm talking about and how you can just be exposed to something different that can really assist you. I'd like to give an example of reading the work of a guest blogger. And this person wrote an article for a blog that's one of the blogs that I follow. Many of you are familiar with it, Low Country Africana. Well, I was delighted to read an article that a guest blogger, Robin Foster, now many of you know her from Saving Stories. I've been following her as well. And I learned just something. Well, I learned two things from reading the article. Pardon me, from reading the article that she wrote. First of all, I learned a lot about the Family Search Wiki, and I've heard people talk about it. I was listening to another podcast, and someone made a reference to it. I wrote it down on my little notebook that I always sort of carry with me, make a note to take a look at the Family Search Wiki, and but still had not had a chance to explore it. Well, I'm reading the post that Robin Foster had written about utilizing this new resource. And I looked at some of the examples that she gave, and I decided, okay, well, let me try a similar thing. She had given an example of using a term like Abbeville, South Carolina, and provided a link to show what would come up if you typed that into the Family Search Wiki. Well, I said, okay, well, let me see what would come up on some of the resources, or some of the communities, rather, that I research. And I was just quite amazed. I typed in one of the communities that I research in Tennessee, and a wonderful resource popped up on cemeteries, several of which had been documented, headstones showing on every person interred there. What a surprise to see that. That's something I might not have found for a very, very long time. And thankfully, through the article that she had written about the Family Search Wiki, which of course now I've hotlisted and plan to go back and use, I really learned an awful lot. Now, this is a name of a person. I follow her on Twitter. So, pardon me, I often click on the many links that she may put there. But somehow, one link had escaped me. But thankfully, because she was a guest blogger on the Low Country Africana site, I was really excited to click on something new that I didn't know. And many of you are familiar with the many articles and resources that appear on examiner.com, and anybody can become an examiner and create articles. In fact, another genealogist whom I respect a great deal has an examiner column as well. Well, I didn't know Robin is also a community examiner, and she has an article on Columbia, South Carolina. She has a column there, and it was really exciting to learn that. And again, I'm thinking, you know, if I stayed in my comfort zone and just went to the handful of resources that a year ago that I would check every day, I wouldn't know this about her. I wouldn't know this about her in terms of, or know this about the article that she had written. And I really would have missed some really practical information. My point simply being, you know, sometimes we need to explore the things we don't always click on. They're there. We see them a lot. They're in our line of vision, but we tend to be creatures of habit and go to the things that we know. The lesson is, click on the things that you don't know a bit. Use a different resource. Go into a new environment, perhaps a different social networking environment. Follow some people that the people you follow may follow. You may learn some new people who are out there who can provide fantastic information for you. What a wonderful lesson that is. Anyway, my goodness, I can't believe the time has gone by so quickly again. You know, I appreciate you for being there, and I thank you so much. Let me hear from you. I'd love to know where you guys are getting your information. I keep finding new doors opening as I've started to really make myself take a look at some things, and I'm grateful that some of the people that I do follow have opened up doors for others whom I don't know that well and have given me a chance to learn even more. But I'd love to hear where you get your information, what new things you've discovered, what new people you've discovered as well. But in the meantime, thank you for being there. You know, I appreciate you. And please continue to do what you do. And you know what that is. To keep researching, keep documenting, and always keep sharing what you find. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.